This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Resource Center. Frieda Liu here. Social Return Investment, or SROI, is a method for measuring and communicating a broad concept of value that incorporates social, environmental, and economic impacts. It's a way of accounting for the value created by activities and the contributions that made that activity possible. Can corporations now quantify impact into tangible economic values to boards and stakeholders? Well, there's been a lot of talk on sustainable CSR and investment in social impact. But how sustainable or effective are these run-of-the-mill CSR initiatives in delivering social or environmental impact? I'm here with Yusuf Jaffar, the head of Social Enterprise Ventures. Welcome, Yusuf. Maybe you can start off telling us a little bit about Social Enterprise Ventures and what you all do.
Well, thank you for having me, Frieda. Well, Social Enterprise Ventures is a subsidiary under My Harapan, also known as the Youth Trust Foundation. Now, Social Enterprise Ventures was created by My Harapan because we saw there was a lack of opportunities for organizations that wanted to make profit but have a sustainable impact on society, environment, and communities. And because of that, a lot of these enterprises with brilliant ideas were stuck. So My Harapan decided that they wanted to actually create a fund that would look into these projects, look into these enterprises, and give them the opportunity to actually realize their potential. Mm. Now, the reason we know about SROI is because we're investing in these businesses or projects, we needed to know what was the impact and what was the efficiency in which these businesses were delivering social good.
Right.
And this is why social return on investment became very important for us. But not just for us, we believe this is something that corporates, NGOs, and other foundations should also take on board.
Right, gone are the days where we just give out a mock check.
Yes, true.
Okay, so knowing what you know of the CSR and social impact movements in the country, how many are considered significant and how many are just addressing issues on a surface manner?
Okay, firstly, we need to recognize that CSR has grown tremendously. Over the past decade, CSR has become more efficient, more focused. But one thing I'd like to address first is, what is the definition of significant? Because if significant means that we have a broad customer base that we constantly engage, then yes, there are a lot of corporates that are doing that. And the reason they're doing that is, if I can break it down into four, is number one, they're looking at their brand value. Whatever they do, they want to see value coming back to their brand. Number two, they want to reach a lot of people. Now, that's why they prefer broader events, broader interventions rather than more focused interventions. Thirdly, they're looking at something simple. If I give a scholarship or if I have an event, it's something that I know will lead to a touching base with a certain number of people.
Mm.
And lastly, as governments, corporates are also populist. They follow the population sentiment. Mm. So if population doesn't appreciate businesses, even using the government as an example, BRIM is more popular than any of the government technology fund programs.
Mm.
Although technology funds program have a larger implication to society, BRIM was seen as something more exciting to the people. And corporates are not any different from that.
So
Short term? Yes.
Yeah.
Short-term gains, but you forget about the long-term implications.
Because it is really that give a man a fish or teach a man to fish.
Exactly. And this is where we would like to see the corporates go to now. Instead of a broad approach, you'd now teach the man how to fish. Because once you teach him how to fish, firstly, he will always be grateful to you.
Mm.
He will always think of your brand above any other brand. So you have a reason to actually go out and help him. And this is what we're challenging. And we believe once they adopt SROI, the methodologies will change accordingly.
Mm. So, I guess what human nature is, we'll go for the path of least resistance.
Exactly.
Right? So what's the update on governance as far as CSR is concerned? What are companies in Malaysia regulated to do, or are they being regulated at all?
Okay. In terms of governance, I think our country is headed in the right direction. I think the tone from the top, from our government, I think the tone from Bursa is perfect. Now, just looking at our government, in 2007, Najib said that CSR is a main criteria for the Malaysian public. In fact, he also allocated $1.5 billion of soft loans for companies that actually do more sustainable practices in terms of helping communities and in terms of helping the environment. Khazanah released a silver book. And because of that silver book, now GLCs are actually the top CSR programs in Malaysia right now. So the tone has been set. Now, in terms of the fantastic job that I mentioned Bursa did, now Bursa has created a mandatory disclosure requirement for all companies that practice CSR. Mm. Now, you may be thinking, okay, mandatory disclosure means if I do CSR, I just have to disclose it. It's not as simple as that, because what Bursa is also saying is that you need to disclose the impacts you're having on your communities, on your marketplace, on the environment. So if you're not doing CSR, all you're going to be disclosing is, we're doing an operation here, the operation has this impact, negative impact on the community, and we're not doing any action. Now, which corporate in his right mind will actually have an annual report that just leaves it at that? This kind of forces them to actually look into CSR and make decisions around it to help the communities they are impacting.
Okay, so when CSR initiatives or social environmental projects are put into action, who actually measures the impact?
I think that is what's missing right now, and this is what the gap that SROI can come into. Mm. No one is measuring that impact. It's just a disclosure. And normally it is the number of people that I have reached or the number of people that have attended my training program. Mm. It is very much output-based. Now, an output can happen, but won't necessarily lead to that outcome.
Yeah.
I could train 100 people. I could teach them English. Doesn't mean that most likely they will become proficient in English.
Mm.
I mean, our universities are having that challenge already. So if we're not measuring those outcomes and we're not looking into it, how do we know the effectiveness of our programs?
What are the complexities in measuring it? I mean, you know, it sounds quite straightforward. I know, like, I'm teaching you English, but then after that, are they proficient is another measurement. What are the complexities involved?
Okay, it's a bit hard for me to go into the maths, and I think an SROI course or another impact course would be good. But I think the main complexities lies on three main fronts. Number one, resources. You know, when we do our for-profit activities, we have an army of workforce that goes out and sees the value that is coming to your customer. And your product would not survive if it doesn't provide value. Therefore, mm-hmm, you're very concerned about your value. Now, think of impact or think of what you're doing for your beneficiaries in the same way. You actually need to go out to the ground and see how are they benefiting from your interventions. But unfortunately, unlike the for-profit side of business, the CSR side of business is very undermanned, under-resourced. You could have one or two person in the CSR team, and most likely that is just their part-time job. It is not something they're doing on a full-time basis.
Mm.
So it makes it very hard for them to even want to calculate.
It should be a business-wide direction.
Yes.
As opposed to this is whose department.
Yes.
Right.
So if that tone can be set, I think impact valuations will become easier. Number two, methodologies.
Mm.
Now, ever since we're young, we learn accounting. And this is why when we
grow... avoid it. Anyway.
I know some people do avoid it, and it's a bit difficult. But I think most of us are familiar with it.
Yeah.
And then later on, if we want to learn it again, it becomes easier.
Mm.
But unfortunately, for impact valuations, we don't have such courses when we're young. So the methodologies are foreign to us. And it takes a learning curve before we can adopt them. Like, we have spoken to NGOs and foundations and SEs even, and we've asked them to adopt these methodologies. And there's always a path of resistance until they actually see what these impact valuation methodologies can do.
Okay, aren't these methodologies available from you know, other countries? Isn't there a benchmark that we can follow, our standards that we can follow? Is there something out there?
Yes, there are a few.
Mm-hmm.
There's SROI, there's IRIS, there's B Corp, there's Shugog IIX based in Singapore, the closest. And these methodologies are available. In fact, free most of the time.
Mm.
Trainings are paid for, but on the general understanding of the methodology is normally free. But unfortunately, I guess since we don't have enough resources in our organizations, we are not really trying to understand these methodologies. So, like I said, once we get more resources into the CSR department, I think we'll be taking impact valuations more seriously.
And the third thing, resources, methodologies. He's checking on his notes.
Sorry.
No worries.
I think the last thing is the tone from the top.
Okay.
I think if CSR is now seen as a more business decision,
mm-hmm,
and they can directly see the benefit that it creates for their brand, then it will automatically fit in. Resources will automatically come into place. Mm. And for the tone of the top to be possible, I think the measure of comparability is also essential. Because, for example, if I've helped 30 students or I've built 50 wells, now how can the manager look at these two options and say, which one is better for me to implement? If I had an easier basis of comparability, such as money, maybe then I can make easier decisions rather than the decisions I'm posed with, such as having an event or doing a training or building a well or sending food to an orphanage. I'm not saying those activities are not good. They are. It's just that with an easier basis of comparability, maybe then you can make more informed and decisions that will lead to higher degrees of efficiency.
Okay. And one of the things is I know that there are some good examples of companies who are implementing this, and we'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Yusuf Jaffar from Social Enterprise Ventures. Stay tuned to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Be financially minded. BFM 89.9.
It's Resource Center. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. If you've just joined me, I'm here with Yusuf Jaffar, Head of Social Enterprise Ventures. We're talking about social return on investment and how that's being measured and having an impact in society. There are some examples that you have of Malaysian companies that are doing this fairly well. Could you share these stories?
Yes. I'll begin first with Etika and Maybank. Mm-hmm. They have recently launched a program called SEED. Now, why I feel SEED is a very good program is because SEED decided that I don't want to just have an event, touch base with some people, and see what happens after that. Rather, I want a long-term engagement for 6 months at least. What I want to do is I want to give these underprivileged school kids or dropouts skills. These skills then can be translated into employment opportunities. And the best thing about this program is that they're not just focusing on giving these skills and also letting them go. Mm. They actually want to keep a constant engagement with the kids for the next 6 months after the program to see whether those employment outcomes actually did happen. They're doing this for 200 kids, and they're hoping at least 150 of those kids actually become employed. Mm. So I think that's a significant amount of people. Mm. Yet there's a depth in the impacts that they are trying to achieve. So I think that's a great program. Another program is the Shell LiveWire program. It's more entrepreneur-based. So Shell found that they're operating in Sarawak. And unfortunately, the situation in Sarawak is not as good as Peninsula Malaysia. I mean, we're blessed in that way. So what Shell said was that we wanted to change the situation there. We want to give these kids an opportunity to actually earn their own income. So they do an entrepreneur training program. They give them some seed funding. And actually, if you go on the Shell website, you'll see a lot of success stories. One of them was just a fisherman who used to fish with another person's boat. Now he owns 6 of his own vessels. So his economic situation has changed. There are also examples of companies that now do homestay just because of the Shell LiveWire program. So again, this is a very good example of depth and impact. When we spoke to these two organizations, we found out that they're not just looking at CSR as a decision on how many people we reach. They're actually looking into metrics such as income, jobs created, innovations, increase in your income, not just an income, and how your social situation has changed. So because they're looking at these measurements, I believe that their CSR programs are entering the next level.
Mm. What's in it for them? I mean, okay, so Sarawak is because Shell, you know, is from Sarawak, and this is where they do their business. Maybank, are they hoping that they'll find some gems that they can hire into their organization? Is that it, or is it just a feel good thing?
I think they are treating it like a business decision, and in the case of Maybank, their tagline is humanizing financial services. Mm. So in this case, is brand building for Maybank.
And they'll probably bank with the bank.
Exactly. Mm. And they will not. And banking is not just one service. There's insurance, there's loans. Yeah. And these people will become the preferred customers for me. I mean, Maybank will be their preferred solution provider as compared to any other bank. In the case of Shell, they're operating in this region. These people who are engaging with them on a consistent basis, the people of Sarawak. So they would like a better relationship with the people of that community. Now, whether it is necessary for them to do that, it is not. The government has had no such regulation. But they feel that by having a better relationship, it makes their operations easier. Shell would be seen as a hero in that region, and they would become popular, and things, their operations would become easier because of that.
So how does then SROI change the game completely? Does it change the game completely?
Oh, I don't feel SROI is a game changer, but I feel SROI adds two elements. I'm sorry about that. Okay. SROI, number one, is an internationally recognized methodology. It is something that if you do it here, it will also be recognized in other parts of the world. And I think this is very important because corporates are brand building through their CSR activities. So if you're building a brand, you don't want just a local brand. You want an international brand. And if you use a methodology such as SROI, your annual report disclosures here will not only be seen as something that the domestic market can consume, but something that the international market would appreciate as well. The other thing of SROI is that it uses money as a basis of comparability. And money is a very...
Money talks.
Money talks, exactly. And money is something that we all can digest, whether it's a professional working in a bank or whether it's someone who is even on a manufacturing floor. He understands the value of money. And the good thing about money is you can now compare different programs. So which program has the highest efficiency based on money, it becomes easier for us to make decisions. Most of the time, SROI will come up with a disclosure for every 1 ringgit spent, how many ringgit of social benefit came about. So this is such a good efficiency metric that now you can look at various programs. You can say, okay, I spend 1 ringgit here, I get 10 ringgit, but on the other program, I get 15. So it makes it easier to make these decisions. And this is why I feel the value of SROI is. Whereas other impact calculations are still very much relying on disclosures that is not palatable to the layman.
Right. Yeah. I'm here speaking to Yusuf Jaffa from Social Enterprise Ventures. You listen to Resource Center. So what does this mean for the various players in the ecosystem if you're talking about the NGOs, supply chain, social enterprises, government grant agencies? What does this mean?
So there are various players. I'll start off with the corporates themselves. So because if the corporates decide to start adopting methodologies such as SROI, one thing is that they're going to make CSR a business decision. It's no longer going to be something that I do on the side or something that I do just for charity. Because now through SROI, you can see the business benefit that actually comes from implementing a certain project. This would mean that there would be more projects such as the Shell Livewire, such as the earlier example of Etika with the seed program. And I think I would like to share an example of Axiata because they launched a digital innovation fund. Now, I think this is a very good case of a corporate deciding that, look, I don't want CSR to be something that is just philanthropic. Mm-hmm. I want to inculcate it into my business. So instead of giving 1 or 2 million and giving it to few entrepreneurs, go do something innovative, they said, here's 100 million. Let's start a venture capital fund. And this venture capital fund will now help over 100 entrepreneurs actually create sustainable businesses that could have a deep positive impact in the case of Malaysia. Mm. Now, that's the corporate side.
Yeah.
On the NGO side is it will make NGOs, I believe, more efficient. Now, NGOs may argue that we are efficient already, but how do you measure efficiency if you do not know, if you cannot compare yourself to other organizations? So once you start implementing SROI and once you start seeing your efficiencies, you can now start comparing it to global benchmarks. And this would not only increase the trust in this sector, it would also grow this sector. I don't believe our NGOs are as internationally recognized as some of the Western NGOs that are operating across the world. And they use methodologies to demonstrate their impact.
Your WWFs, that sort of thing.
Yes, Red Crescents.
Yeah.
So if we start adopting these things, then we can start competing with them head on. Look, like maybe our NGO is saying, look, we are more efficient in delivering this service in this area. Therefore, more funding should be channeled to us. And I think this would be a critical shift on how NGOs operate in the case of Malaysia. Well, not only on the execution side, through SROI, we also see more impact funds coming into the industry. Right. I think investing has become a buzzword in investing now is social investing, or in investing in things that help society. And when these funds start to see that they can make a profit while helping society at the same time, I believe a large portion of them will liquidate their just-for-profit portfolios and start looking into portfolios that have a double benefit to them.
Right.
Yes.
So I guess in this direction, right, you see the big boys being more participative. And it is just as important for SMEs because they supply, they sell to foreign to overseas as well. And the companies are now expecting that kind of integrity in
yes.
companies, right? So how can businesses learn more about this? Are you providing any education?
Okay. The easiest way and the cheapest way is probably you go online, you read about the different methodologies. But if you really want to become a practitioner mm-hmm. and accredited in this field, MyHarapan is hosting a social return on investment training on May 16th and 17th mm-hmm. at Park Royal, Bukit Bintang. You can just visit our Facebook page to find out more. We do recommend it, especially for CSR heads, for NGOs and foundations, as well as investors, because it gives you a new perspective on how to view your operations, on how to view investment decisions, and to see the triple bottom line.
Yes, yes. There's that. I was waiting for you to say that. The triple bottom line. People, profit, and place.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for being with us and sharing some insights into CSROI. I've been speaking to Yusuf Jaffar from Social Enterprise Ventures Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.